If you'll take your Bibles and turn with me to the 10th chapter of John, I'm going to bring you a message on the subject, on the trail of God's sheep. On the trail of God's sheep. Now our text will be John 10:16, in which the Master, this is the Savior speaking, our Lord Jesus Christ, he says, "Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." Now I realize that what I'm going to preach to you today is in conflict with 90% of today's religion. I realize that what I'm going to preach to you today is not believed and not preached by most of today's religious leaders. I realize that what I'm going to preach to you today contradicts what the average person thinks about God, about man, about salvation, about soul winning, and about the cross. But let's go to school together. What do you say? We're not here to please men. No prophet of God ever was sent into the world to please men. Paul said, "If I please men," he was very deliberate about this, "if I please men, I am not the servant of Jesus Christ." And we're not sent by God to preach what men think. And we're not sent by God to preach what men want to hear. We're sent by God Almighty into this world to preach what he has written. In fact, he said, if they speak not according to the word of God, it's because there's no truth in them, no life in them. And Paul said to young Timothy, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. There's no season for preaching the word, any particular part of the word of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And all of the word of God is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for instruction, correction, that the man of God, the person in Christ, might be mature in the Savior. So let's go to school together. First of all, in John chapter 10, we learn this. This is an established truth right here in the 10th chapter of John. Reading verse 16, our Lord said, "Other sheep I have." Other sheep I have. And then he said in verse 14, "I know my sheep." And he said, "I lay down my life for my sheep." So this is clear from these verses that our Lord has a people, an elect people, whom he calls his sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, and them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. Now the question comes, where did he get these sheep? Our Lord has a people, an elect people, whom he calls his sheep. All the way through this scripture, he refers to them as my sheep, my sheep, my sheep. Where did he get them? Well, the Father gave them to him. Look at verse 29, John 10:29. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. In John chapter 6, verse 37, turn over there and read it. In John 6, 37, the scripture says this. This is the Master speaking. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I'll in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. This is my Father's will, that of all he hath given me, I'll lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. Now in those three verses, John 6, 37, 38, 39, twice the Lord refers to his people as having been given to him by the Father. And then in John 17, if you read the 17th chapter of John, in these 24 verses of our Lord's priestly prayer, and this is holy ground, this is the prayer of the Master, this is the prayer he prayed prior to the cross. He's talking to the Father here. He's pleading for his people. He's praying for his people. And six times in this prayer, in verse 2, in verse 6, in verse 9, in verse 11, in verse 12, in verse 24, he refers to these people as those whom the Father hath given me. six times. As he prays for his own, as the great high priest goes before the throne of God, the Father, and prays for his people, he keeps referring to them in this way. Thou hast given me power over all flesh, that I should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me. Verse 9, I pray not for the world, but I pray for them which thou hast given me. Thine they are, and thou gavest them me. Our Lord prayed for his own, and this is the way he identified them, those whom the Father hath given to me. Our Lord has a people. They're called his sheep, and they were given to him by the Father. That's what the Word of God teaches. Now, secondly, our Lord died for these sheep, and he redeemed them. Look at verse 11. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And then read verse 15. I lay down my life for the sheep. Now, our Lord's death was not an offer. It was an atonement. Our Lord's death was not an effort. Christ didn't come down here to make an effort to do anything. He came down here to accomplish a task given him by the Father. He came down here to redeem a people from their sin. When the angel announced his birth, the angel said, Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. The angel didn't say that he'd make a way for them to be saved. The angel didn't say he'd fix it so they could save themselves. The angel didn't say he'd make a down payment on the debt and let them finish making the installment payment. The angel said he shall save his people from their sin. And Isaiah said, by his stripes we are healed. It's done. The great transaction's done. I am my Lord's and he is mine. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us. Cleanseth us. Not makes us cleansable, but cleanses us from all sin. Jesus paid it all. All the debt I owe. Sin left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. He said, I laid down my life for the sheep. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. If our Lord died for my sins, then I'm not going to die for them. Because God Almighty's justice will not demand twice the same payment for the same sin. Even our justice won't permit that. We don't put a man in jail. He serves his time. We let him go out and arrest him again, put him back in jail for the same crime. Why, he'd say, what's wrong with you? I paid that debt. That debt is over. And when Christ died for the sins of the sheep, he paid their debts, all of them. Well, you say he paid for our past sins. Now, wait a minute. When Christ died, all my sins were future sins. I wasn't born then. That was 1,900 years ago. And when he died for my sins, they were all future. If Jesus Christ died for me, I shall not die. That's what the Word of God teaches. He is the Savior. Faith is not the Savior. Baptism is not the Savior. A decision is not the Savior. Christ is the Savior. Salvation is not something I do for God. Salvation is something God does for me. God doesn't need me. I need Him. He cleanses me. He chose me. He sought me. He found me. He called me. He gave me faith. He keeps me. We're kept by the power of God. Salvation's of the Lord in its planning, in its execution. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. In its application, he called us. In its sustaining power, we're kept by his power. And in its ultimate perfection, he that hath begun a good work in you, he started it. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He'll finish it. So that's clear from this scripture. Our Lord said, I've got some sheep. He's not out looking for volunteers. He's out looking for lost sheep. Our Lord's not out looking for people to join his kingdom. He's got a kingdom. He's out bringing those. He's calling out a people for his name. He knows who they are. The scripture says he knew from the beginning who would believe on him and who would betray him. When he was washing the disciples' feet, he said, now you're clean, but not all of you, because Judas wasn't clean. I speak not of all of you, he said. That's in John 13. So that's clear. Our Lord died for the sheep. Now, thirdly, this is clear. Our Lord will bring his sheep to himself. He said, other sheep I have. My Father gave them to me. My Father gave them to me. And I laid down my life for my sheep. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. I must bring. And they shall hear my voice. And they shall be one fold and one shepherd. Now look at verse 24. And then these religionists came around. He was teaching on Solomon's porch. It was winter, and he was at the temple. He was out on Solomon's porch. And this is when he was given this story, or this teaching of the good shepherd and the sheep. And these religious people came round about him, and they said in verse 24, "If you are the Christ, if you are the Redeemer, the Messiah, the Anointed, the one for whom we look, why don't you tell us plainly?" Now listen to what the Lord said. "I told you," verse 26, "I told you, and you didn't believe me. You didn't believe me because you're not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. You don't hear because you don't have ears to hear, and you don't see because you don't have eyes to see." One day our master said to the disciples, "Whom do men say that I am?" What are they saying out there in the marketplace and down by the seashore and down by the wharfs and the fishing places? And what are they saying? Whom do they say that I am? Well, the disciples said, "Some of them say you're John the Baptist, and some of them say you're Elijah, and some of them say you're one of the prophets. They've got a lot of ideas about you." He said, "Whom do you say that I am? Who am I, Peter?" And Peter looked at him and said, "Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And you know what Christ said to him? "Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. The natural man can't see that. Natural eye hath not seen, the natural ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered the heart of natural man, the things that God's prepared for them that love him. But he hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. But my Father which is in heaven." Thank God. Our Lord Jesus Christ has a sheep, and he gave his life for those sheep. He died for them. He paid their sin debt. He canceled all charges against them. He wrote off all condemnation, and he's out looking for them. They're lost sheep, but they're sheep. And our Lord said, "I must bring them. I must bring them, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold, and there shall be one shepherd." Out yonder, somewhere in this world, in every tribe and kindred and nation and tongue and people under heaven, our Lord's got some sheep. There's a Saul of Tarsus wrapped up in religious rags, wrapped up in custom and tradition. But our Lord will find him. He's mine. He's mine. Our Lord will find him. He did find him down there on the Damascus Road. He found him. He stopped him and he said, "Saul, why persecutest thou me?" "Well, who are you, Lord?" "I'm Jesus of Nazareth." "Well, Lord, what will you have me do?" "Now, you go to a certain place and I'll send word what you ought to do." He found his sheep. And then there's a Zacchaeus, all wrapped up in politics. He was a tax collector. Everybody hated him. The folks he collected taxes from and the folks he collected taxes for, and I expect he hated himself pretty much too. He was no good. But he won our Lord's sheep. And our Lord found him up a tree one day. And he called him down. He said, "Zacchaeus, today salvation's come to your house, for he also is a son of Abraham." And then there's a harlot out there on the street. Our Lord found her. She's his sheep. And there's Mary Magdalena, filled with seven devils, but one of his sheep. And there's a Philippian jailer, and there's a seller of purple called Lydia, and there's an Onesimus. There's a runaway slave out yonder running from his master. And he's running to Rome to find refuge. Well, he found a real refuge, because he ran right into the arms of the Savior. He's one of his sheep. That's right, he's one of his sheep. He said, "They are my sheep, and I have them, and I must bring them. And they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold." In 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 4, Paul, talking to the church at Thessalonica, he said, "I know you're God's elect, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God." How do you know that, Paul? Well, I know it because our gospel, look at verse 5, 1 Thessalonians 1, 4, and 5. "Our gospel came not to you in word only, but it came in power, in the power of the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance." Now, let me illustrate our Lord's teaching with a true story. Our Lord says in John 10, "I've got a people, they're my sheep, and I lay down my life for my sheep. And other sheep I have, which I chunder, they're not of this fold. I must bring them. And they're going to hear my voice. And they're going to follow me because I know them and I love them. and I came to save them. Now, in John chapter 4, one day our Lord, with his disciples, was going from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he went through Samaria, sat down on a well, told his disciples to go into town and get something to eat, and left him there alone. High noon, 12 o'clock, a woman came to that well. Now, that wasn't the time to draw water, but this woman was quite notorious. She was a well-known in the town of Samaria. She was a very sinful woman. And she came to draw water at that time of day to keep from meeting anybody. Other women wouldn't be at the well. They came in early sunrise or sunset in the cool of the day, not in the heat of that oriental sun. But she came at noon, and there she met the Savior. And our Lord looked at her, and he said, "Give me a drink." And she said, What are you, a Jew, doing asking me, a Samaritan, for water? Don't you know the Jews don't have anything to do with the Samaritan?" And he said, "Woman, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, 'Give me to drink,' you'd ask of me, and I'd give you living water. I'd give you living water." She said, "You don't have anything to draw with. Are you greater than our father Jacob?" He said, "You drink water from this well, you'll thirst again. You drink the water I'll give you, you'll never thirst." She said, "Lord, give me some of that water." And he said, "Go call your husband." She said, "I don't have a husband." He said, "Well, you've well spoken. You've had five husbands, and the man you're living with now is not your husband. And you well said you have no husband." She said, "I perceive you're a prophet. Our fathers worship in this mountain, and you Jews say you're supposed to worship in Jerusalem." He said, "Woman, you know not what you worship. You worshiping in ignorance. The time will come when you will neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship God. God's a spirit, and they that worship him in spirit and in truth. For God seeketh such to worship him." And he said to her, she said, "Well, I know this. I know when the Messiah comes, he'll tell us everything that we need to know. He'll make everything clear to us. He'll straighten out this mess." And our Lord said, "I that speak to thee am he." One of his sheep. One of his sheep. Four things are clear to me in this story. And this story, I believe, is given to reveal to us how God deals with his sheep. There are four things I want to give them to you. You remember them. First of all, we know this woman was one of his sheep, and he was seeking her out. First, he crossed her path. And then secondly, he created an interest. And then thirdly, he presented a problem. And then fourthly, he presented the remedy. Now, first of all, he crossed her path. Look at verse 4. It said, he must needs go through Samaria. Now, in our text today, I read, "Other sheep I have, them I must bring, and they shall hear my voice." And right here in the first of John 4, it says he must needs go through Samaria. Why? Because one of his sheep's down there. One of his sheep's down there. And he's going down there to find her and reveal himself to her, to cross her path, that she might have a personal encounter with the Redeemer. That's what Paul says in Romans 10, verse 13. He says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, call out of a sinful heart, call out of a needy heart, call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved." But how are they going to call on him in whom they've not believed? And how are they going to believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how are they going to hear without a preacher? How is this woman going to call upon a Savior she doesn't know? His sheep's got to hear his voice. And they've got to encounter him in order to hear his voice. Our Lord met this woman at the well and revealed himself to her as he will meet you and reveal himself to you if you're one of his sheep. You can't trust an unrevealed Savior. You've got to hear of him. That's the reason we preach. God had chosen by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The Ethiopian eunuch, God sent Philip down there to preach the gospel to him. The Philippian jailer, God put Paul in jail to preach the gospel to his sheep down there, who was the jailer. Lydia down by the riverside, God sent Paul down there by the riverside to preach the gospel to her. In Acts 18, verse 10, Paul was down there in Corinth, and they were giving him a hard time. He thought they were going to kill him. He's making arrangements to leave town. And the Lord came to him that night and said, "Paul," Acts 18, 10, "they're not going to hurt you. Now you stay right there and preach." Now read this carefully, Acts 18, 10, 11. "For I have much people in this city. You stay right there. You're my ambassador. We're ambassadors of Christ. As God did beseech you, as we beseech you in Christ's stead, as though Christ himself was preaching to you. As that woman stood there by the well and the Master revealed to her the grace of God, that's exactly what true preachers are doing, true ministers of Christ. Now, you've got to study to do this, and you've got to preach with sincerity, and you've got to preach the whole counsel of God. You've got to keep back nothing profitable to his sheep. You've got to tell them the truth. You know, can't stand and say, come down the aisle, believe, make a decision, join my church, and give us a little money to keep on keeping on, and sing a few songs. You've got to instruct them. They've got to know who he is, and where he came from, and what he did, and why he did it, and where he is now. And they've got to know the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And Paul said, I endure all things for the elect's sake. So Christ has got to cross your path. And that's what he did with this woman. He crossed her path. All right, secondly, he created an interest. He said, woman, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that's talking to you, you'd ask of me and I'd give you living water. Now, he didn't talk to her about religion. She had that. She stand here arguing with him about him being a Jew and her being a Samaritan. That sounds like a Baptist and a Methodist arguing, doesn't it? You're a Methodist and I'm a Baptist, or you're a Presbyterian and I'm a Church of Christ or Church of God or interdenominational something else. That's what that sounds like. Well, the Lord didn't talk to her about tradition. She had that. She said, our father, Jacob. She's bragging about Jacob. She didn't know Jacob's God, but she's bragging about being kin to Jacob. And we brag about our ancestors, Martin Luther and John Calvin and Zwingli and Huss and John Owen. We don't know their God, but we sure can pass their names around. And our Lord didn't talk to her about form. She had all that. She worshiped in the mountain. I worship God in nature. I worship God at the cathedral. I worship God here or there. He said, you don't know what you worship. He talked to this woman about the gift of God. What is the gift of God? The gift of God is eternal life. It's not religion, it's not form, it's not doctrine, it's not tradition. It's eternal life. It's divine life. It's the life of God in the soul. It's living water. It's a well of living water. Christ said, he that cometh to me out of his belly, not just keep flowing in him like the old Dead Sea, but out of his belly shall flow the rivers of living water, the joy of God and the love of God and the peace of God and walking with God and talking with God. Living water. Well, she said, I'll take it. I'll take that gift of God, eternal life. I'll take that living water. Wait a minute. Four, he posed a problem. He said, go call your husband. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. She said, I don't have a husband. And our Lord said, that's one of your big problems. You've had half a dozen of them. And the man you're living with now is not your husband. This is a problem faced by every one of God's sheep who encounter the Savior. When they meet him, they also meet his law. They meet his law. When they meet him, they meet his law, and they realize all have sinned and come short of God's glory. They realize that all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. They realize to offend in one point of the law is to be guilty of the whole law. We want eternal life, but we can't buy it. We got nothing to buy it with. We can't earn it. We can't deserve it. No way in this world. We can't walk with God because we're such great sinners. God won't accept us in our character because it's so rotten. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And this woman was, I know, downcast. The Lord kept talking to her about eternal life and the living water. And she said, give it to me. And he said, call your husband. And that ruined it right there. That ruined it. And finally she said, well, I know this. I know that when the Messiah comes, he'll straighten this thing out. He'll tell us everything that we need to know. He'll tell us how our sins can be forgiven. He'll make it all clear to us. The Messiah will come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And bless your heart, that's when Christ said, I'm he. I'm he. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, will put away that sin that separated you and your God. I don't care how deep into the pit of sin you've gone, our Lord's able to lift you. He's able to say to the uttermost them that come to God by him. He says, though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. I'll tell you why he presented this problem and why he poses the problem to you. And I'll tell you why every time you encounter the Savior, you encounter your sins. You know why? God's going to show you that eternal life is not something that you merit or you earn. It's something he gives by his grace through the blood of his Son. And Christ's going to get all the glory. He's going to get all the glory. There's seven compound names for Jehovah in the Old Testament. Our Lord Jehovah, that Savior, Savior God. He's called Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. And Christ is our provision. He's called Jehovah Rapha, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. And our Lord healeth all our diseases. By his stripes we're healed. He's called Jehovah Nissa, the Lord our victory. Thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. He's called Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God in our Lord Jesus Christ. He's called Jehovah Raya, the Lord our shepherd. He said, I am the good shepherd. I give my life for the sheep. He's called Jehovah Sidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. He is our righteousness. He's called the Lord Shema. That is, the Lord is present. And he said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. When you come and cross his path, and he creates an interest in life and living water, and your sins face you, and you can't get around them, look to Calvary. There's the Messiah. There's the Savior. There's the Redeemer. If you want this message on tape recording, cassette tape, you write to me. There'll be a small charge. The address will be given to you at the close of the program. Until next week, God bless you, everyone.